Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Coming to you from a rainy Southern California where the humidity made it feel gross.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Florida, I don't understand how you do it.
I mean, we both used to live in the Northeast. I mean, this is what summer was like. Spring.
Yes, but it's January.
I know, but we live in
California.
I don't
want humidity in January.
I know, it's weird.
It's rarely humid out here.
It's true. It's rarely humid out here.
Guys, how's the weather where you are?
Let us know in the comments. Oh.
We did it. Jinxies.
Oh, boy. It's going to rain again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, you know, because I like rain.
Mm? Okay.
I was like, ooh, I'll golf. And I'm like, no, I can't golf yet. My script's not done. Yeah, so I like rain.
That's the deal Matt made.
With himself.
With himself and me.
No, not with you.
Yes, with me.
No, with myself.
What?
So I'm going to golf while you're gone. Every day you're on.
Okay, that's crazy.
Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be very weird if you did that.
I wouldn't
have
time to do it anyway, because I have to get Henry to school, you know? I can't do any morning golf anymore.
For 2 days.
And while I haven't finished my script.
Yeah, and while you haven't finished your script.
So, there you go.
Well...
Truly exciting. What have we been up to this week?
Well, we went to Disneyland today.
We did. We had a reservation. Thanks to the reservation system of Disneyland Park, we used our annual pass again. And it's almost been 1 year to the day. I mean, it'll be in a couple of weeks, it'll be 1 year.
Yeah.
How do you feel like we did with the annual passes this year?
I think we definitely broke even in terms of the cost.
Yeah. I mean, think about what it saves parking every time we go, too, you know?
Would I have wanted to go to Disneyland as many times as we went if we didn't have the pass? Probably not.
No one would want to do that. Wait a second. It's a catch-22. That's what you're saying?
Kind of.
Oh, man. So then we go and we spend money and they get what they want.
Although I do feel like every time we go, we spend less and less money because we never buy souvenirs anymore. We never buy like stuff.
I don't know that we ever did.
I feel like
we weren't big souvenir people. Says the guy who collects everything.
Yeah. Okay. But now we just like have lunch and come home. Henry has his hot dog from Cafe Daisy.
Yes.
And we come home.
Yeah, I mean it's great in the sense that we only spend, you know, half a day at most. Really, it's today was a long one because we got in there at 9:30.
Yeah, we were there for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that was a long one.
I was so tired when we got home.
Yeah, you took a nap and I was like, Henry came out the second you left the room.
Henry of course. Came. Henry said he was like, really tired and he wanted to take a nap.
Yeah. And he was like, dude, I need help sleeping. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I can't sleep. And then he just sat on my lap. I took him to the hardware store, had a great time. A big, big Sunday, you know? I had to replace some light bulbs and a chandelier. So all the light bulbs that I had ordered from Amazon were broken.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Truly, it was like, I've never been more sad.
You were really sad.
About light bulbs.
You were really sad.
Dory correctly points out, are these the only people who make them? Bao Ming? And I was like, I don't know. because they were so cheap. But they were like, it wasn't that they were broken from manufacturing defect. It was that they were broken from being hurled onto our driveway by the Amazon driver.
Except,
I think it could have been at any point.
If they had been packed better, then they wouldn't have broken.
If they had been in a box, they wouldn't have broken.
Right. So, like, it, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I'm just saying it's an Amazon. It's Amazon's fault.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. I agree with that.
I mean, I was like, where am I going to get a G9 bulb?
Turns out the hardware store.
Well, I went to the hardware store and they were about $12 a piece.
Jeez.
We had four bulbs that were out. And I was like, this is crazy. So I bought three. And I was like, that'll be enough light. And I made sure to put one over where I'm usually sitting.
So. I mean, it is a lot more light.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just was like, how is no one else annoyed by the fact that it's now so much dimmer in this room?
I was not annoyed.
Yeah, I know. That's why I kept turning on those other lights over by the fireplace.
Yeah, I know. I kept noticing that those were on.
Yeah, because I needed more light. Hmm. In my fading years, my golden years, mm-hmm. my eyes aren't what they used to be.
Mm.
I don't have the nocturnal vision of, say, a cougar.
Do you mean like a woman who dates younger men, or do you mean the animal?
No. Oh my God.
I don't know.
I feel like they have the worst vision, cougars, you know? They're too vain to wear their glasses. Mm. The contact slips out, that's it.
That's true. I mean, listen, as a cougar myself, I can tell you, my eyes
are
starting.
You have 800 pairs of glasses, and what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Well, I need them for distance. I don't need progressives yet, but I feel like that day is coming.
Well, oh, we're an old group of people here.
Mm-hmm.
Minus Henry, who's not that old.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I would say overall, in the year that we've had the Disney annual pass, Dory says broke even. I say probably spent a little more than we would have.
Yep.
She's correct that we wouldn't have gotten as much, which I really hadn't even thought about. Which is so fascinating. And like, now I see it. Now I see the value to Disney of an annual pass.
Right. Of course.
I didn't see it. I was like, what is happening? I don't see this. These people come in, they don't spend money, they just go home like we did. But like, the reality is, we go in.
We spend money.
You know, Henry and I get a churro, you get a coffee, then we have whatever the meal is, if it's breakfast or lunch, and then we're out the door. But like, still, that's already like, I don't know, $60.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's a racket, they get it.
Yeah. It's true. Anyway, how was your week other than that?
You know, it's been okay. It's been... I've had some ideas, some breakthroughs on the script. Nothing particularly major. Having a real hard time focusing, as we all know. Time timer. You know, hasn't been that helpful lately because I haven't, like, I need a time timer to tell me to use the time timer. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean. So, yeah, I'm hoping to write. Dory's going away for a few days to go write. And I'm hoping that while she's gone, I can get some writing done. Whatever. Henry thinks he's going to sleep at midnight.
Yeah, he's like, Mama's gone. Dita's putting me to sleep. And then yeah. Matt was like, what time do you think you're going to go to sleep when Mama's gone? He's like, 12. I was like, okay.
If that's the case, I'm going to not get anything done.
He if you like let him stay up as late as he wanted to, I don't think he would last much past 7:30.
No, of course not.
Like he is,
I agree with that.
Beat by the end of the day. He lives hard. He lives hard.
Yeah. I thought his arms, I mean, I couldn't, like, I brought him over to the playground. There's a playground inside of Toontown in Disneyland. And inside there's like a candy factory that appears to be owned by Pete, I think. I couldn't quite tell. But there's like these little interactive things for kids to spin. You spin on a steel sort of wheel. It's like probably like 6-7 inches in diameter. And there's a decent amount of resistance to it. And you spin it and like it moves these like balls around and all different colors. And they can activate, you know, you can pretend you're cooking. The balls are supposed to be candy, so like you can cook them in the oven, and then turn the heat up, and then they go out, and then Henry was doing this one that spun them around, and used centrifugal force to shoot them down another tube, but he literally did it for 10 straight minutes. And I was like, how are his arms not dead? I really was like, when are you going to stop? In my head, I didn't say it to him. I didn't tell him to stop, but I was like,
yeah.
And he wouldn't stop until he got until it was empty and there were no balls left. And I didn't think he'd be able to do it, but he did do it. So there you go. Then he ran and did the slide, et cetera. And then he enjoyed walking in the rain. It was raining today at Disneyland. Also, I will say, I don't know if it's NFL playoffs or what, but today Disneyland was very empty. It wasn't empty, but it was much lighter.
Also, I think the rain was, because it said it was sold out. So I feel like a lot of people were either trying to like wait out the rain or just like didn't come.
That was true. When we were leaving, it was actually really coming down finally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was like, I mean, there was like space to walk around. It was really nice. There's a big choke point over by Pirates of the Caribbean. Over once you sort of exit Adventureland, sort of the Adventureland Frontierland merge point, and then in front of Pirates and Haunted Mansion, it's usually like arm, like shoulder to shoulder people always. And today I took a picture of it and there's so much negative space. I was so excited. I sat in a chair.
He really was excited.
It was. And I was like, Dory's like, go on a Dumbo. Do you want to go? I was like, nope. I'm fine just walking around an empty Disneyland. Thank you. They went on Space Mountain. They went on Runaway Railway, got stuck on it.
We did get stuck on it, and Henry was like about to have a panic attack. Like he started crying, and we were so close to the end. And in fact, Runaway Railway breaks down all the time. And I was like, oh, we made it. Like we made it to the end. And then it stopped and the lights came on. And he was like, I don't like this. Like he was getting very agitated. And I told him to count the leaves on the tree in front of us, and that calmed him down.
Interesting.
So
that's pretty, I mean, it's a lot of the trackless ride systems, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's the trackless ride systems.
I know on like Rise of the Resistance, it breaks down all the time because there's so many different ride functions. Meaning like there's a motion simulator, there's a drop, you're on a trackless vehicle, there's animatronics, you know, so any one of those things breaks, the ride goes down. On say like a, you know, like an Omni Mover, kind of like a Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing, or I mean, that's a bad example. It's a boat, but like Haunted Mansion, those tend to just run all the time. Very little downtime.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to these tracks. All right. Thanks for joining us for the Disney portion of the show that was actually at the front of the show today.
Yeah. Who knew?
If you'd like to participate in the Disney portion of the show, let us know by writing in DoryMatt@gmail.com, MattandDory@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail, 416-413. Say it. I don't remember.
413-461-BABY.
Great. That would be the number. If you wanted to leave a voicemail, do so. We'll play it on the show. Otherwise, stick around. We'll be right back.
BRB.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, we are back. Last week, we heard from a listener named Libby who was debating whether she should choose the sex of her second child, presumably, like with you know, choose the sex of the embryo, because she hadn't done that for the first, and she's wondering if it was fair to do that for the second if she hadn't done it for the first. So we got some responses. All right. My husband and I did this, and we have no regrets. We participated in a clinical trial, so the gender of our embryos was not initially disclosed. After our first transfer failed, we were given that information, but decided to go with the most viable embryo regardless of sex. This transfer resulted in our daughter, who will be 4 in April. We had always imagined having at least one of each, a daughter and a son, so when we decided it was time to transfer another embryo, we discussed whether or not we should choose this time around. We ultimately decided, why the hell not? So much of trying to conceive while struggling with infertility is out of your control. Why not have this one thing where you get to make a decision that is 100% within it? We were extremely fortunate to have a second successful transfer that resulted in our son, who will be turning 2 next month. I agree with Dory that she is overthinking it, and in the end, the question of fairness will more than likely never be something that is questioned, because regardless of whether or not you chose the sex of your child, what you did choose was to do this extraordinary thing that tested the limits of your mind, body, and soul to bring them into existence. Like I said, zero regrets, and I would make the same choice again. In fact, we still have a few embryos left, and while we are on the fence about a third child, we are about 90% sure that we would choose the sex and which one it would be. Wishing her all the best in whatever she decides to do. Sierra, in 1900 square feet in Pennsylvania, 1 husband, 2 science babies, 4 and 2 years old, 1 95-pound golden retriever, maybe half a dozen hot dogs so far in 2024, 2 TVs, 55-inch and 32-inch.
Mm. 2 55s and a 32. Okay.
No.
Reasonable.
155 and a 32.
It's no longer reasonable. Get another TV. Come on.
Thank you, Sierra, for this perspective. Matt, we have a voicemail on this topic. Are you ready to play it?
You know what? I wish I was ready to play it, but I'm currently not ready to play it. But while I discuss how I'm not ready to play it, hopefully when I'm finished talking, I'll be ready to play it. However,
I could also just read this.
Sometimes it takes a little longer. What?
I can read this next little thing while you're getting it ready.
Wow.
Because we got a voicemail from a listener who said she and her husband did not do sex selection because they felt uncomfortable, kind of like playing God, and they got to find out in the same way that non-IVF people do with the NIPT test. The voicemail was just very long, and so I decided to just sort of summarize it. I just wanted to mention this point of view.
I mean, isn't that the most fun thing about IVF, playing God? No? Am I crazy?
I mean, I felt like God was playing me when we did IVF.
You're not wrong. I feel like the CFP parking attendants were playing us.
Oh, God. I mean, it wasn't their fault, but...
Okay. What's first here?
Gender selection is first.
I see sex selection.
I called it sex selection, even though they refer to it as gender selection. I believe sex selection is the correct quote unquote term. But anyway.
Look, you go with gender selection. You're not always going to hit the target, guys. You know, whatever you're targeting, whatever. Okay. Close, no cigar.
Hey, guys. This is Amy from Boston again. I wanted to call a pause the pod to respond to the last, to two of your listeners that called in. So the first one was about picking the gender of the embryo. I wanted to share my experience that I actually was in a similar spot as the listener. I had picked my first.
Hang on, guys. Let me clean this up. There's a little static hiss that's happening.
It also sounded kind of soft.
Yeah, I agree. I'm futzing with everything right now. And let's see what this did.
Which was a girl, and I got lucky. It worked the first time, and I got my beautiful girl that's just a little bit younger than Henry, or older than Henry. And then I actually had three embryos left, a girl and two boys, so I got two and two of each the first time. And was in the same dilemma as the listener, you know, do I pick, do I not, like, you know, do I want a boy, a girl, whatever. But as it turns out, all three of those embryos failed. None of them worked. The girl that I wanted two girls, so I tried that, didn't work. And I was like, it doesn't matter, I'll just do one of the boy embryos. They all failed. So I ended up doing another retrieval, only getting one normal embryo, and that became my son. But I guess moral of the story is it doesn't really matter sometimes. And I'm with Dory on this. I completely agree with Dory. It doesn't matter now that I'm like months away from pregnancy and have just two great kids. And you never know, like with your body, you know, it just may or may not work. So don't overthink it. Dory's like, just don't overthink it. And then with the second listener, with natural versus medicated, I did natural for my first. It worked great. But then, like I just said, the last, the next three natural cycles that we attempted all failed. And so then I ended up switching with the next retrieval to medicated, and it worked. But I do have a lot of experience with mock transfers. That was one of the best things that I did to make make sure that, not that you can never make sure, but that it did eventually stick. So I do always advise friends that are in this position to talk to their doctors about doing a mock transfer, just to see if your body is like ready to accept that embryo. I know most doctors won't do it. If you had one successful one, they'll just say, oh, it'll work the next time, but it didn't for me. So anyway, that's just something that I advise people to talk to their doctors about. I think Dory, you did one as well. It just kind of helps maybe see where everything is in terms of your body and are you able to accept that embryo. All right. I've talked to you guys a million times, so you know my stats, live in Newton, and I'm vegetarian, so we don't eat hot dogs, and we have three TVs that work.
Three TVs that work. That's the way to describe a television. I don't know how big they are.
But doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Guess what? They work.
They work. Thank you for this perspective. We did get one more email about this from Rebecca. I agree with Dory. Don't overthink it. Just do what you want to do. My oldest child was made from IVF, where we did not do any sort of testing on the embryos because we didn't have enough embryos to send them off. This was back in the day of fresh transfers and taking what you could get. My second child was made with a donor egg, and therefore we had tons of embryos that were genetically tested. And we figured, hey, we already have a girl. Let's go for a boy this time. I flat out asked my oldest how she felt about that, and her response was, well, I think I would have preferred a sister. To be fair, her little brother had just been the little brotheriest little brother right before I'd asked the question. So yeah, I don't think she feels slighted in any way that we were surprised by her gender, but chose my son. On a slightly different note, I wanted to let y'all know about a battle I've been fighting with a fertility clinic and maybe put out the subsequent labs post-donor egg cycle signal? So that donor egg cycle I mentioned earlier resulted in 5 remaining embryos, all girls, by the way, that we've decided to donate to another couple. 2 of the embryos were adopted in November. When they were selected, my husband had to do a series of blood work and a physical to qualify him as a donor under FDA guidelines. Kind of silly, if you ask me, since these embryos were made 6.5 years ago, but whatever. I just chalked it up to another way government officials try to have control over something they know nothing about. Whatever, let it be. Well, fast forward to 2 weeks ago, my friend is adopting the remaining 3 embryos. We are super excited about this and can't wait to see what comes of it. But her clinic has been insisting that A, my husband has to repeat the same labs and physical he did just 2 months ago. B, we both have to register as patients at their clinic. And C, this is the real kicker, I also have to complete the FDA labs and physical. Remember, these embryos were made with a donor egg. My blood work, medical history, genetic makeup, etc. has absolutely no impact on these embryos. They claim it is because I'm sexually intimate with the sperm donor who donated his sperm to these embryos 6.5 years ago. I'm wondering what they would do if we claim to be swingers now. It may make their Alabama heads roll. What really sends up a red flag is that they are charging $500 per person for lab work. So my husband, myself, my friend, and her husband are all required to have blood work done. I just think it's ridiculous and I am insistent on fighting it for her. I've shared direct links to the FDA website where it cites what is required in situations like ours. I've even emailed the FDA directly and forwarded their response where they cited the same areas of their website I found on my own. I even emailed the nurse from the clinic where we did our donor cycle and forwarded her reply in which she stated that they would not require any of this and that my friend is welcome to be a patient out there. I thought it was a nice touch. Anyway, I guess I'm wondering if any other eggheads have donated embryos and what was required of them in regards to labs, etc. Specifically, if anyone has donated an embryo made with a donor egg. I'm just curious if anyone else has dealt with this and how they handle it. In the meantime, I'll keep fighting the fight. Thanks, y'all. Rebecca, 1,750 square feet in Birmingham, Alabama, 2 kids, 1 large dog, and a husband who currently lives in another state most of the time. Oh.
Mm.
I'm intrigued. Just kidding.
Tell us how. She took the words out of my mouth, actually.
3 TVs. 1 is never used. No clue what size they are. No hot dogs yet in 2024.
Thank you for participating in our informal survey.
This is a bunch of bullshit, Rebecca. And yet, I feel like in the end, you're going to just have to do it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So the mental anguish you're causing yourself currently fighting this thing, you could save yourself that by just kowtowing to their rules.
Their arbitrary, extortionist, ridiculous rules. I'm with you on this, that this is absolutely ridiculous. It feels like a money grab. Sure. They're just like fully covering, they're trying to like cover their asses for some reason.
I didn't think about the money grab aspect of it, really.
She mentioned this. She said what really sends up a red flag is that they're charging $500 per person for lab work. So, I mean, yeah, like, oh, they can get another $1,000 out of these people. Okay. Although, like, a fertility clinic makes so much money that. $500, I don't know.
$8 for parking. Just $8.
Right, that's true. Yeah, but like I got tired as I was like reading this, just thinking of all the fighting you'd have to do and all the frustration that's going to happen from this. And that's like, I know that's like a defeatist attitude. And hopefully by now they've like agreed and I'm totally wrong, but like I think at this point I would just be like, okay, whatever. Like that, just another indignity of doing fucking IVF. It's just all bullshit.
Well said.
Thank you, Matt.
I mean, I get it. totally. Like, you're talking to the king of getting annoyed by doctors charging more money for things.
Of course. Yes.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And it makes, and I agree with you, it makes no sense. Why should, if anything, they should track down the egg donor and make her do labs. Like, it doesn't make sense for you to do labs. That makes no sense.
It does, because they probably put a dollar hold on your credit card, and because it worked, they were like, you need labs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Let's take another break. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Already? This thing's flying by, guys.
I know. When it rains, it pours. You know what I'm saying? What? It doesn't make sense.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
All right, we are back.
Hi.
I think I only put, because these were both from last week, I think I only put one of these in the new folder, so you can just play the one that I put in. It's called accountability.
Oh my God. That's my
what?
Least favorite topic. I need to be accountable to people.
Hey, Matt and Dory. This is Sam in Pasadena. I'm calling with an accountability partner tip, probably mostly for Matt, but really for everyone. It's a service called FocusMate. It's a website, and you sign up for either for working sessions for an accountability buddy. So you can sign up for a 25-minute working session or 50 minutes or 75 minutes. And you schedule a time. You can schedule it as little as 1 minute before. Otherwise, just at every 15 minutes, there's a new session starting. And when your session starts, it sounds awkward, but you are randomly assigned to like a FaceTime or a Zoom camera window with another real live human being who also has stuff they want to get done during that time frame. And you verbally share with each other, okay, during this 25 minutes, I am going to get out two specific emails. And then the other person tells you what they're going to do. Then you both go on mute. You leave the other person's screen up so that you're like accountable to each other, that you're actually staying on task. And then you work. And then a timer goes off at the end of the time period. You verbally report out to each other and you get a 5 or 10 minute break. It sounds so goofy, but I love it. It has radically changed my working from home productivity. I'm so happy I found it. You get to see people all over the world. I literally sign up a minute before. I have no ability to prepare or plan effectively, but I never regret it when I do it because I focus the entire time. So if you're looking for an accountability buddy, definitely recommend FocusMate. It's free for 3 sessions a week. But I actually pay for it because I really like it. It says Sam in Pasadena. I have a 4-year-old almost science baby and a 2-year-old free sex baby. And I called in a long time ago with the California basement. We are still in that 1,000 square foot house with the California basement. But we did build a tough shed in the backyard where my husband has an office. So that has worked out great. It's only 120 square feet, but you know, that's 10% of our house.
Tough sheds are great.
Highly recommend that as well if you have the space. All right. Thanks. Bye.
I loved our tough shed.
It was a pretty good shed.
And you know, you can get a slightly bigger one and, you know, literally you could drywall it and put an air conditioner in there. No problem.
Oh yeah. I feel like I know people who have done that.
I mean, such a great thing. You can get ones with windows. I mean, you can get a two-story tough shed, honest to God.
Yeah, they look like little houses.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think about this accountability app? Are you going to try it? Do you work with a stranger?
I was kind of on board, and then like when it's like, leave your camera up and make sure you're accountable, I was like, wait, what? I don't know. Does that sound like something for me? I don't know. I like that it exists.
What are we going to do with you?
I don't know. I'm still waiting for you to leave.
I mean, if I had known you were so like jonesing to get rid of me, I would have left for a week.
I just am jonesing. Like, there's some accountability there. It feels like you're leaving and you're going to be writing. So I should be here writing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when we did Whole 30. Remember that?
You reference Whole 30 all the time.
Because it's like, it was...
It because we did it together.
Yeah, and I was so strict about it because I felt that if I had cheated at all, I would have felt immensely guilty.
Interesting.
And as a result, I wouldn't even put sugar in my coffee. And that's how I ended up drinking black coffee. Now I drink black coffee.
I wonder if that's why I stopped sweetening my coffee.
It probably is.
Interesting. Never thought about that. Or, I mean, I probably did at some point, but I haven't thought about that in a long time. We did that a long time ago.
Yep.
Because I don't do diets anymore.
I know. You've told me. Every time I've asked, is there an accountability Whole30 buddy I could get on that thing too?
Probably.
Hey, I'm going to have lunch with no added sugars, no complex carbs, and...
Hey, I have something that might light a fire under your ass.
What?
Why don't we see who finishes their manuscript first? Script or book?
The competition doesn't do anything for me.
Oh.
Sorry. It's like, I don't, if you win, I'd be like, yeah, you're better than me. It's fine. And if I won, I'd be like, so?
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
All right.
It's also like not my problem, but it kind of is.
It is. It's all of our problems.
Exactly. So I resent that it's also my problem.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I want your book to be done. Sell it. That's also my problem. See how it feels? It's the same thing.
Okay. Except I work on my book, you know?
I stare at the page sometimes.
Exactly. All right. Okay, we also got, remember a couple weeks ago we said we were going to have a living estate sale?
Yes.
We got some emails about this. This really? Is from, yes, we did. We got, this is from Devon. Hello, Matt and Dory. I had a suggestion for you to consider if or when this estate sale idea comes to fruition. You two have a not insubstantial pod following. I, for example, go back with Matt to Nerdist. And as such, a nice sized pool of people who are invested in your well-being. I therefore was thinking along the lines that in your desire to remove unneeded / unwanted things, could set aside a group of things available via an online auction house for your supporters to bid on. Matt had mentioned he had some baseball cards, for example, which I, as a fellow collector, might have interest in. I'm sure there are many interesting, practical, or fun items that you feel you no longer need that you could now sell to your fans. If this has no appeal to you or may turn into too much work with shipping things, then I hope whatever form this estate sale takes, you reach whatever goal you set. Thank you for the podcast. Devin in London, Ontario, Canada, 148-inch TV with many hot dogs in any given year and a medium-sized basement apartment.
Nice. I mean, I can see, just look behind me, Dodo. There's so many things we can get rid of.
I know. I feel like
why do I have two proton packs? She actually couldn't, no words came out. She tried to open her mouth and she's like, I can't, she can't even.
My so fantasy, like my fantasy is to live in a house with no stuff.
I don't disagree with you. So, you know, like I vibe with you on that for sure.
But then you buy so much crap, like you can't stop.
Get out of here. Why are you so mean?
That's a good.
Your stuff's like a, not crap.
That's like a gas lady victim-y response. You're so mean.
Your stuff's not crap.
You're so mean.
I don't call your stuff crap.
That just like shuts down every conversation.
I can't even, you know, walk outside the back door without jamming one of your sweaters in the door sill.
All that stuff is going to be gone.
So much stuff.
All that stuff is going to be gone.
She acts like she's the fucking queen of not having a bunch of stuff. But guys, I got news for you. She's got a bunch of stuff.
I have a bunch of stuff. You have a shit ton of stuff.
Yes, I know. I started sooner.
But I'm older than you.
Yeah, but I started collecting stuff. I collect.
I know, you're know what a I collector. Mean? Yes, I
that's
do know
a,
what you
That's
mean.
Kind of a problem.
Yeah, that is the problem.
And I'm, you know, honest to God, I'm like, can't wait to get rid of stuff. I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
I know.
But in the process of getting rid of stuff,
you're buying more stuff.
In.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, ooh, I could... What if I turn this into a business of me flipping things?
And in order to do that, I need all of these things.
Yes.
This is what I always like. Sometimes people are like, oh, does your husband play tennis? And I'm like, no, he plays golf. And then we start talking about that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like our personalities are very different. When he started playing golf, he started buying like he bought like every club. Golf bags, golf towels, golf gloves, golf shoes, like so many things. And he does not understand that I have one racket that I use. I have an old one that I no longer use, but I basically use one racket. I have one bag and one pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah.
This like does not compute to you. I played tennis with a woman who was like you. Like she kept buying all this equipment. She was like, I just love buying all this equipment. Like she was just like, yeah, I love it. And I was like, yeah, there's like two kinds of people in this world. There's people who just want to like buy all the equipment for whatever they're doing. And then there's people who are like, whatever.
I'm a tinkerer too, you know?
Yes.
So... There's an element of tinkering with the setup of my bag and what might work best for me. And there's a real beauty and a joy to putters. I really do like putters. There's a real... And also, it's part of the bag that I often will just blame the putter rather than my own putting. I'm like, well, it must be the putter. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But there's 14 clubs. You know what I mean? There's 14. You can take 14 clubs out with you every time you golf. And I'm like, ooh, some days I want to bring a 7-wood. And some days I'm like, 7-wood is going to fly a little too high here. It's going to be too windy. Let me, you know, bring a 3-iron, et cetera. Blah, blah, blah. But right. You know, I mean... I could see an element of like not only keeping a backup racket with you, but also maybe have one strung a little looser, tighter, you know?
I mean, I actually should have a backup racket.
Your old racket should be your backup racket.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shoulds about it. I'll just need to get you a bigger tennis bag. That's all. More tennis bags. Oh, Let's do it. I love tennis bags. You know who makes your tennis bag that I got you? Vessel. You know who makes these golf bags behind me? Same folks. If you work for Vessel or happen to be the CEO, let me know. Great job. I like your stuff. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yes.
Someone just texted us, living estate sale. They are the best. So I guess this is a thing. Living estate sale. I mean, I guess it's like a big yard sale. I mean, right? Like, isn't a living estate sale just a yard sale?
Maybe.
All right. Ariana wrote, "Hey folks, I have an idea for your stuff. In the Patreon, start a monthly raffle. Anyone at $5 or $10 a month gets entered, and once a month you can win a thing. I bet there are eggheads who are into guitars and or golf who would join for a chance to get a Matt Meyer golf bag or pedal. You said some stuff might cost a lot to ship, but if you get enough new patrons, maybe it'll be worth it. Anyway, just a thought. Much love to you all. Ariana Perry, one dog, one science baby, 1,600 square foot house in Quincy, Massachusetts. No hot dogs in 2024.
That's very funny. You know, I was, hang on. My brain's going to catch up here. There's a guy on YouTube who does card breaks, opens up boxes of cards. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can buy into the breaks is to be a patron of his. So you buy in through Patreon. And then you're in on the breaks. Like, so there's like this other element. There's this other hoop. Like, that's why I'll only watch them. I'll never buy into a break. Because there's like, there's another hoop.
Interesting.
You know what I hate?
What do you hate, Matt? Hoops?
I don't like hoops. I don't want jumping through any, like, the less hoops, the better. Like, sure. If you're like, here, do this thing. It's one hoop. I'll be like, okay. But here, do this thing. It's two hoops. No.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we had this talk.
Thank you for being a part of this. I love to share with you, honey.
Okay. Bonnie writes, idea to increase Patreon numbers. Have you considered setting up a feed for Patreons that has no commercials? A lot of the podcasts I follow, including the independent ones, do that. For example, Extra Hot Great, which Matt was once a guest on years ago, talking about Bar Rescue, I think. How do I remember that? Mm-hmm. Does that for their Patreon. Not having to listen to commercials is a perk I will usually pay more to do. In fact, my listening hours to podcasts co-hosted by friends of Matt, How Did This Get Made and Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, has decreased since Stitcher stopped existing and I can't listen to ad-free episodes through Stitcher Premium. I have no idea the amount of work this takes, but hey, maybe Matt can contact Dave from Extra Hot Great and ask for help and then be your guest on a future podcast. All right.
That would take no...
It's like a very light lift.
Yeah. Like, if that's something people want, I think we're happy to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't have a great handle on actually how many people care about no ads. Like, the people at Patreon, like, I've talked to them about this. They claim that ad-free episodes are like, very low conversion. Like ad-free episodes are not the thing that will like get most people to subscribe. I don't know if that varies by podcast or if there's always like a certain, I mean, there's probably like always a certain subset of people for whom that is something that they want to pay for, but it, to them, their data tells them that that is not like the thing, but it's not hard for us to do.
Yeah.
If you want ad-free episodes, let us know.
I mean, you'll cut into our revenue on the ad side, but whatever. It's already so minimal. Doesn't matter.
It's true. If we get a few more patrons, it'll make up for it. All right. Matt, we have one more voicemail. Cards.
Which one is it?
Is it cards? Oh, did I put it in? Maybe I forgot to put it in.
Yeah, I have cards. Oh, you cards did? Is here.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt and Dory. Matt, since you're getting into the trading card game, you might be interested in Jeff Ramsey over at Rooster Teeth's show. It's called The Break Show. It's where he goes through and opens up not only baseball cards, but all sorts of really random trading cards just to see, you know, what he's getting in his pack. thought that would be right up your alley. Talk to you later.
That's, by the way, so... I'm just going to infer from that voicemail that tells me that Jack's just opening up cards for himself and people just watch. That's hilarious and fantastic. You're not like charging anybody. You're just sitting there opening cards. Yeah. There is some element of a funny to that I like. Anyway, thanks so much for caring about the fact that I said that I like cards now. I'll tell Dory things about cards, and she'll pretend that she's looked up from her phone, but hasn't. And then I'll wait. I'll go, "Are you going to look?" And then she'll begrudgingly look at the thing I'm trying to show her.
Poor
anyway.
Matt is so anybody, neglected.
Look, if anybody wants to talk to me about cards, let me know.
All right. Christine writes, "Hello all. Have you watched the new Bluey episodes yet? In Cubby, Bandit says he needs a bigger TV and that 50 inches isn't an acceptable size anymore," or something like that. I thought of Matt when I heard that line. Yes, we have watched that is one of Henry's favorite of the new episodes, the fort one. I forget what it's called. go on.
I was going to say he's seen the new ones like 12 times already. It's insane.
That's true. All right. Also, I have a thought I'll share with you guys. I wish I could shuffle Bluey episodes like I do with music rather than watching in the same order. I'd like to mix it up. Am I onto something? Does this exist? Christine, Wisconsin, where the high today is zero, so we're watching lots of Bluey.
I've been asking for this feature forever. I've wanted to do that with Star Trek episodes. I wanted to be able to create my own playlist, honestly, to go in the order I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not available currently, and that's annoying. I also had an idea for Netflix back when it had more movies on it. Like, mm-hmm. I think it would have been cool to have like curated collections.
Mm.
Like have Quentin Tarantino's selects, and there's like 20 movies there for you to watch.
Right.
And yes. They all have a little intro with him. Yes. Going, "Here's why this thing is awesome." And it could be anybody, you know. Maybe throw a John Hamm in there. Who cares?
Who cares?
Just make it interesting. Get me a Jodie Foster. She's currently in the new True Detective. She could be promoting that, but also showing me her favorite movies.
That's true.
All right.
Okay.
Do work for Netflix. Let me know.
All right. We got one last text. "Hope all is well. Thinking of you. I feel like I've been on this weird parasocial journey so long that when I don't see a pod, it is like my friend has not texted back and I get concerned."
I will say this out loud. I'll say the quiet part out loud. When there's a Monday holiday, Dory and I are very keen to record on Monday.
That's true.
Like, it seems that like that's our new pattern.
Yeah.
And so if it's a Monday holiday, federal holiday, just don't worry. It's probably coming out that night.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, it turns our normally one day weekend into a 2 day weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we like it just as much as anybody else.
All right. I have a long voice memo to record, but I get stage fright. So in the meantime, I found an adventurous job prospect. Oscar Mayer is hiring Wienermobile drivers. Salary would not even cover the amount of chronically student debt I accrue yearly, but have fun.
I mean, how many do they have? They've got to have more than one, right? They've got to have like... And they don't even call it the Wienermobile anymore, right? They call it the Frankmobile? The Frankmobile?
Oh, I don't know.
Listen, I only know this from Handyman Hal. When Handyman Hal visited the Oscar Mayer Frankmobile.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I'm looking it up. I like how Wienermobile for sale is the sign, is the thing people are texting. And let's see. Wienermobile has been used since 1936 to advertise. In 2003, Oscar Mayer announced that they're renaming the Wienermobile to the Frankmobile to promote a new recipe for its all-beef Franks. That suggested that the name would not be permanent. Oh, and it was changed back in September. So for a little while, it was the Frankmobile, everybody. Wow. For that brief, glistening period of 2023 when Handyman Hal was in that grocery store parking lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What a time.
What a time.
If anyone wants to know, currently, it's running on a GMC W Series chassis with a Pontiac Firebird taillight, a 6-liter 300 6000 Vortec V8.
What?
What? I'm talking about with the Wienermobile, what it's made out of. Apparently.
I know. All right. Well, Matt.
Yes.
This brings us to the point of
the
show.
Now on the Wienermobile. Oh, there's a notable incidents page.
Okay.
Part of the Wikipedia on Wienermobiles.
All right. We got to wrap it up. Reminder, you can support us on Patreon. You get up to 2 bonus episodes per month. If you're interested in ad-free episodes, let us know. We'll probably add that.
That's a thing that we could do immediately.
Yep. That's patreon.com/excellentadventure. And you also get your name read on the podcast each month.
Here's
and
a suggestion to you, Dodo.
Yes.
In the Patreon page, go to Patreon now and run up. I mean, this is a Andy would have done this immediately.
Run a poll.
He's a big fan of polls. Okay. Just run a poll in there.
I'm not Andy, but I can do that. All right. No, we really do have to wrap this up because we're gonna run out of time. With like the way the ads are in.
Thanks,
the
Greta Truitt.
Okay. Thank you, Haley Tryon.
Thank you, Heather Haskey.
Hendrick.
Ivar and DC's Papa.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Olson.
Jennifer Steele.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Manolovich.
Joanna Rao.
Julia Schulenberg.
Julie Schulenberg.
Phillips. Justine Adamick.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Campbell.
Karen Thickershey.
Kat C.
Kate.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Allen.
Katie Regan.
Katie Jordan.
Katie Moylan Shorten.
Laura Dodge.
Laura Elliott.
Lauren Johnston.
Lauren Schultz.
Lindsay Gish.
Lynn Aowen.
Lisa NWV.
Lisa Travis.
Liz P.
Lynn N.
M. K.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Melinda Phelps.
Melissa.
Meryl H.
Michael Roth.
Mike Zytek.
Molly.
Mariah Adamick.
Nancy. Powell.
Nicola Hill.
Nikki Bossert. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. All right, bye.